Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testament, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign in to Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 22 4466. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Our readings are taken from Psalm 26, Daniel 6, and Revelation 8, and the reflection is entitled Faithfulness.
So we're going to concentrate on Psalm 26. Lord, I love the place where your glory abides. Give judgments for me, O Lord. I have walked with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord. I have not faltered.
Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind.
For your love is before my eyes. I have walked in your truth.
I have not joined the company of the false, nor consorted with the deceitful.
I hate the gathering of the evildoers, and I will not sit down with the wicked.
I will wash my hands in innocence, O Lord. Lord, that I may go about your altar.
To make heard the voice of thanksgiving, to tell of all your wonderful deeds.
Lord, I love the house of your habitation and the place where your glory abides.
Sweep me not away with sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty.
Whose hands are full of wicked schemes and their right hand full of bribes.
As for me, I will walk with integrity. Redeem me, Lord, and be merciful to me.
My foot stands firm. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord.
Lord, I love the place where your glory abides. Have mercy on us and redeem us, O Lord, for our merits are your mercies, and in your judgment is our salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Amen. And I think the reading that we're going to have from Daniel 6 is a good illustration of that psalm. A person of integrity, surrounded by people who are scheming to try to make him fall. So let's listen to that passage. Thank you, Lynn, for starting, and then I will finish.
It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps stationed throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, including Daniel. To these the satraps gave account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Soon Daniel distinguished himself above all the other presidents and satraps because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to appoint him over the whole kingdom. So the presidents and the satraps tried to find grounds for complaint against Daniel in connection with the kingdom. But they could find no grounds for complaint or any corruption, because he was faithful and no negligence or corruption could be found in him. The men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." So the presidents and the satraps conspired and came to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever." All the presidents of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict that whoever prays to anyone, divine or human, for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the interdict and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the interdict. Although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room, opening towards Jerusalem, and to get down on his knees three times a day to pray to his God and praise him, just as he had done previously. The conspirators came and found Daniel praying and seeking mercy for his God. Then he approached the king and said concerning the interdict, O king, did you not sign an interdict that anyone who prays to anyone divine or human within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the den of lions? The king answered, The thing stands fast, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they responded to the king, Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, said, pays no attention to you, O king, for the interdict you signed, but he is saying his prayers three times a day.
When the king heard the charge, he was very much distressed. He was determined to save Daniel, and until the sun went down, he made every effort to rescue him. Then the conspirators came to the king and said to him, Know, O king, that it is law of the Medes and the Persian that no interdict or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king gave the command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. King said to Daniel, May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you. A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No food was brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. When he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no wrong. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted his God. The king gave a command, and those who had accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the den of lions. There, their children and their wives, before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples and nations of every language throughout the world, May you have abundant prosperity. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, for he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Then we're going to start Revelation 8. Thank you, Lynn, for continuing a little bit further. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And other angels with a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given a great quantity of incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets made ready to blow them. First angel blew his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were hurled to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up.
The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light was darkened, and a third of the day was taken from shining, and likewise the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew in mid-heaven, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I'm going, I think, to stay well off Revelation 8. I think it needs time to unpack and possibly to look at the context. But Daniel 6 might be one of the stories you remember if you're a certain age from your time in school. Daniel and the Den of Lions, quite a well-known story often in assemblies or a children's story that we tell. One of the great story of the Old Testament. And so we've been traveling with Daniel and his three friends, first under the previous king, Nebuchadnezzar, and how he had already shown faithfulness then and had faced quite strong oppositions and challenges. And for me, one of the thoughts that sprang from the reading and mostly what kept him faithful to God was his simple practices. It says there that three times a day he would pray to his God. He would take the time to stop, to pray, to worship. And mostly they had set forms of liturgy and prayers, but he would do that faithfully. And I think it was so embedded in his life that when a challenge came, it wasn't too difficult for him to make that choice. That's what he had chosen. And I think in our world, that's in a sense, maybe doesn't value traditions or certain set of practices, there is a lot to learn. I think maybe for us as Christian, there is something to learn from our Muslim friends who embedded in their faith is a pause through the day. They have, I think, five times a day, a kind of a prayer. And it's still very much, of course, in the Jewish faith. So how do we as Christians embed a rhythm of prayer in our lives, a rhythm to pause? Morning prayer is a good thing to do. And in the past, you had morning prayer, mid prayer, and evening prayer. I think the challenge in the Church of England is that we need to adapt to the reality of life. No, not anyone like 200 or 300 years ago are able to go to a place of worship in the morning and or to pause that. But to help people, and maybe through now the apps on our phones, we have Lexio 365, we have other things that can help people just to pause in the morning, to pause at lunchtime, to pause in the evening, and to bring back those very helpful disciplines so that people do start the day with their God, they do pause at midday, and do end the day with God. I see often that people have that without scripture. Often people start with their phones in the beginning of the day and they fill their thoughts maybe with social media or things like that. So there are ways to find disciplines in our days, but we need to make the decisions to do that with God as Christians, for he is worthy to be praised. And when challenges comes, we might find it easier to be faithful to our God, and like Daniel, to see that God is powerful and he is the one who can protect and deliver. Or in one of the earlier readings with the three friends who said, whether God is going to deliver or not, we will leave it that to him. What we were going to do is to remain faithful. So thank you, Lynn, for helping me, in a sense, starting the day with God. And maybe we should pray as a church that we will find ways to encourage one another to have those set times through our days, through our weeks, through our year, to have a rhythm of prayer, a rhythm of worship, and a rhythm of thinking about scripture. So let's pray for the life of the church, that it will find ways to encourage the faithful to have those disciplines. Yeah, Lynn?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that when you build that rhythm into your day, whatever that looks like, it just gives you strength for the day. Mm. And the thing is, when things come in your day that are unexpected, because you have that foundation, I will speak for myself, and my first the person I first turn to naturally without thinking is Jesus and God.
Mm.
And that's just because of building a rhythm that it just becomes a second nature.
Mm.
And the calmness that it gives in times of crisis is immeasurable, really. But only you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's just very easy. And what this, I can never remember these quotations, but God blesses. We are blessed more when we bless him. He blesses us a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the rhythm of prayer. And I suppose the other thing I would say is liturgy is another in the Anglican tradition. And I start my day every day with Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and to whom no secrets are hidden.
Mm.
Cleanse the thoughts of my heart by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. And to me, that prayer, you don't need to say any other prayer,
mm.
but just think of those words as you're saying them in your head.
Mm.
And you're recognizing him, that he is the absolute center of your life.
Mm.
And he will answer you. Perhaps not in the way you want, but he will answer you. So, yeah, the rhythm of prayer and faithfulness, and Daniel's faithfulness, you know, under such, I mean, you just think of the Christians that are persecuted in countries around, and they stand for their faith. It just blows your mind, doesn't it, really?
Mm-hmm.
Just blows your mind. Yeah, so we have a great God. And anyway, we'll turn to prayer now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have already. Before you, Lord, all our hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. So at the start of this day, yes, Lord, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. May your thoughts be filled with the knowledge of your presence, with a desire to serve you more dearly, to love you, to serve you, to walk with you. And do that through the power of your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Giver of life, the one who speaks word of truth that at times might upset us, and yet they are there to transform, to renew, to redirect, and to refresh. And through that work in us, we will learn to walk more humbly and truly with you, expressing your intentions in this world. And Lord Lakinin said, "It can only start with me." Each of us have to make that decision, like Daniel did. And it looks like he was the only one. But thank you that when we seek to grow and put those things in place in our lives, we can also ask friends to support, to pray, to be accountable to. We are not alone. And we thank you for the witnessing that we saw yesterday when we celebrated the life of Leslie. How, despite the dark time that she had to go through, the reality of depression, she kept the faith. She continued to trust you and even to share her faith with others. We pray for Vivian and for John and for Sarah and the whole family. And they will know your presence today and in the weeks to come.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.